prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
The truth will set you free. It is Truth Revolution. I am Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff.
Oh, welcome.
Of Revolution Church.
I'm glad to be here today. Are you?
It is. Great day.
I think it's going to be a good day. Hey, check us out online, truthrevolution.tv.
Yep.
If you haven't done so yet, you are missing out.
You are totally missing out. We got truth shots popping off every day, Monday through Friday.
Don't be a loser. Go to truthrevolution.tv.
I guess I'll go there then.
If you don't go to truthrevolution.tv, you won't know the answer when someone asks you a question about Hinduism.
Right.
If you don't know the answer, you'll be depressed. If you're depressed, I'm not going to go down that road.
Right.
All right. But anyway, who does those commercials?
I don't remember. DirecTV?
Some corporate schmug.
Right.
Anyway, we're talking about principles of canonicity today.
Right. Continuing a discussion that we started last week.
How was the Bible put together? Because the opponents or the critics of the Bible say that it is just arbitrarily thrown together.
Right. You know, this past week, I had some discussions on this subject with a couple of friends of mine. Yeah, everybody's like, everybody, almost to a man, was like, oh, they got together and they voted on that stuff.
They were wrong, weren't they? Oh, man. Everybody thinks that.
I said, you need to go to Truth Revolution. TV.
What were they surprised when you gave them the answer? Or
well,
told
you know,
them?
When people get an idea in their head, you know,
oh, they didn't want to believe you.
No, they don't, because I mean, you know, everybody knows,
right?
I mean, you know, it's like when it comes to religious stuff, everybody wants to think they know.
They all have an opinion, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, and what do we say? Opinions are of no concern.
That's right. Study and learn. Opinions are of no concern.
Right.
You know, this, you know, the people do the same thing with Copernicus. Like, oh, the church, man, they hurt Copernicus. They persecuted that poor guy for saying that the heliocentric view of the universe was the right way. And
right.
You know, no, actually, the church agreed with him and thought it was a good idea. Whatever, man.
I had actually.
That's not what my high school teacher said.
You're going to think I'm totally dropping names or just making stuff up here.
Okay.
But I totally had that same conversation with somebody just this past Sunday.
I believe you.
And they're like, because they were talking about our show.
Oh, yeah.
And they were talking about, well, I remember back then you were like, they told dude to publish that stuff.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. The Catholic bishop guy said you need to publish that.
Right.
That's good. I'm glad they remember that.
See, science and faith can coexist.
That's right. And that's actually what our show is all about, is science and faith and your mind and reason. And we want the truth, you know. And we think that the truth about God is compelling, and there's evidence, and there's reasons to believe in God, and reasons to believe in the Bible, and that's what we're talking about. If you think you have a good challenge to the Bible or to the Christian faith,
bring it.
Bring it. Let us know.
Really?
Bring it to us. Yeah. Bring us some questions.
There's a reason we're so excited.
That's right.
You know,
and it's because not only have we experienced God and we believe that's real, but we have the evidence for it, and we think we've got answers for when there's questions.
We've been doing this for a year and a half.
Yeah.
Yes. For a year and a half, and we have yet to stumble or have somebody push something across to us. They're like, well, I don't believe anymore. You know?
Yeah.
And matter of fact, and I'll be completely honest with you, my faith has been bolstered by just being on this show.
I believe you. You know, it's a good reminder to hear this stuff every week. Mm-hmm. Wow, we've got answers. I met with a guy who was an atheist some years ago, and he laid out some of his problems with the Christian faith. And I said, well, here's our general answer. So that was, it wasn't a fight. It wasn't dogmatic.
Mm-hmm.
But after that, he eventually came to faith in Christ. And I asked him about our conversation. He's like, yeah, it's not like, you know, one of those answers just made me go, oh, wow, it's all true. But basically, it made him realize, oh, they have legitimate answers.
Right. And it's the overwhelming body of evidence that you actually eventually come up with when you actually study.
Okay, we've been bantering for like 4 minutes about how awesome our show
is.
We're
going to be in a commercial break here in a minute, so we better get something done.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's do a radio show. What will it be about? How awesome our show is. Okay.
Mission accomplished.
Larry Taylor, he said this, for unbelievers, the choice of what books to include in the Bible is arbitrary, almost accidental. Mm-hmm. As we shall see, the choice of the books to be included in the Bible largely depended not on whether a book concerned, not only whether a book concerned the things of God, but that had to describe the right kind of God and the right kind of Jesus.
Right.
And we were always saying, last week we quoted this and said, why does that make it arbitrary?
Doesn't that make sense?
It's
really?
Wait a minute. Just because it's got the right answers, you included it. You fool. No, but he gives the impression that people sat around saying, hey, you know what? This is the type of God we want to promote. Mm-hmm. This is the type of thing we want to believe in. So let's include only the books that have the idea that we want. But that's not what it was. And we found out last week, we talked about how the church was the discoverer of the canon.
Mm-hmm.
We were not the creator. We didn't determine what books were included in the Bible. If you missed last week, you absolutely have to go to truthrevolution.tv and listen to it.
Truthrevolution.tv.
Please, I'm begging you, go listen to truthrevolution.tv.
And we even had an extra 5 minutes from last week.
We did, online special. Mm-hmm. So if you missed the 5 minutes, go listen to the extra 5 minutes because we said something really important there, a few things. Anyway, we're going to continue today because the question today is, okay, well, why were certain books included in the Bible and why were some excluded?
Right. And of course, we talked about last week how if things lined up with what the apostles taught,
yeah,
then it was put in there.
Exactly.
You know?
Well,
but not everything, but not everything that lined up with what the apostles taught. Pretty much everything that's in the Bible in the New Testament,
yeah,
is written by an apostle.
Yeah. I mean, so, just about. Exactly. It's the question here is, how did we include these books in the Bible? How did the believers discover what God had done? Now, this is important to phrase it that way. How did believers discover what God had done? Because remember, we're not saying, hey, what books do you want to put in our holy book? What do we like? We're discovering what books God inspired. How did we discover this? How do we know what books God inspired? And this was written here by these principles were originally, I found them from Norman Geisler. He's a great guy, great author. So I'm going to reflect some of these back to you, listeners, but we're going to discuss some of them.
All right.
The first one was it written by a prophet of God? The first way we discover whether something was really the words of God was whether or not it was actually written by a prophet of God. If you're not a prophet, you can't write scripture. I mean, that's kind of important. Right. That's what the prophet does. He speaks the words of God. So any scripture has to be written by a prophet. And in most cases of trying to discover whether something is the word of God or not, the most important factor is figuring out who the author is. That's the number one thing. Who wrote this book?
Right. And by and large, you're looking at Peter and Paul.
Yeah, or Luke and Paul in the New Testament.
Did Mary write anything? Peter, Paul, and Mary?
I saw them on PBS last night.
I don't know. If you're really old, you might understand what that meant.
Why did I watch PBS?
Because it's good.
It was the worst decision of my life. No, actually, my wife's got me watching this Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm. Are we on a bunny trail again?
You ever heard of this show?
No, I have not.
Okay, you don't have to turn in your man card. We'll continue. All right, for instance, the Apostle Paul wrote a lot of books in the Bible. People knew the Apostle Paul as a prophet from God. He did miracles. He prophesied. God spoke to him. God confirmed to other prophets that this was a chosen prophet.
He actually brought somebody back to life who had died from listening to one of his sermons.
Because it was so boring.
Because it was so boring, he fell out the window.
The Bible actually says Paul droned on and on into the night, and someone fell asleep and fell out of a window and died.
Uh-huh.
And now, I feel bad if someone doesn't pay attention completely when I'm preaching. Right. How would you like to be described in the Bible as droning on and on?
Right.
Oh, jeez.
But hey, if you do that and somebody dies in your congregation, you better be able to bring them back.
That's a good thing.
That's all I got to
right.
say.
See, I can't bring someone back from the dead, so I don't have the responsibility or I don't have the leisureness to drone on and on.
Boy, we're bunny trailing today.
Jeez.
Get a shotgun sound effect out there. We're going to kill some bunnies today.
These were the words of a prophet. The Apostle Paul is a prophet from God. So what did people do when he would write something? They would study it. They actually would study it when Paul wrote something. And they said, this is the word of a prophet. We better figure out exactly what he said. And even Paul recognizes this. In Galatians 1, verses 11 and 12, it says Paul writing stuff himself. He says this, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. He explains clearly that what he taught was revealed from God. Why is that important? Because scripture was not merely written by man, but revealed from God.
Amen. I don't know how much of his stuff you actually read, but it's all very consistent.
Paul's stuff?
Yeah.
I think I've read it all that's available to us. But yeah, I mean, it is. It's amazingly consistent.
Yes. And you know, it's not like he goes on, not like we do, on bunny trails and stuff like that.
Well, yeah, sometimes he does. But he has this one part in the book of the Bible where he says, and, you know, I'm glad that I didn't really baptize any of you because that would just be controversy. Well, actually, I baptized so-and-so. Well, and I guess I baptized someone. Well, I did baptize this. Beyond this, I don't remember who I baptized, okay? Right. He goes on this little tirade, but that's all right.
But by and large, a lot of his stuff is very very Christian basic.
Yeah.
And what Jesus taught, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I don't see, you know, you would want to keep that in the Bible. That's definitely scripture because it lines up with Christ.
Right. And so, we knew Paul was a prophet. So yes. What Paul wrote, we can include. Now, here's what's interesting. The book of 2 Peter was almost excluded from the Bible because of this reason.
Really?
People often say, oh, well, some books were kept, some books were excluded, blah, blah, blah. Well, 2 Peter was almost excluded. Peter was, of course, known as a prophet and an apostle. He was the leader of the church. We knew 1 Peter was by Peter. So why was 2 Peter almost not?
Do tell.
Because it was a very different writing style than 1 Peter. Hmm. If you can go back and you can read the Greek, you'll notice, wow, these two are written differently.
And what do you think that is?
Well, think of the detail in this. Okay, the early church was so particular on making sure that these books were really from a prophet that even the writing style made them question, was this really from Peter?
Mm-hmm.
You see, this isn't a matter of like, oh, wow, let's make it up. You know, let's we got a book here. Who wrote this? Let's say Peter wrote it. No, they're like, man, this guy uses a couple verbs differently.
Right.
Maybe it wasn't Peter.
Well, the thing that people need to keep in mind is that we're talking about our eternity here.
Right.
And if you're talking about a book that deals with that eternity, you want to make sure it's spot on.
Yeah. Eusebius 1:193, this was written about the 4th century. It's an old document. It says, the so-called second epistle we have not received is canonical, but nevertheless, it has appeared useful to many, has been studied with scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
2 Peter is called an anti-legomena book.
Oh, what? Okay.
It means it wasn't rejected, but it wasn't universally accepted. There were some churches here and they didn't really use it because of the writing style. However, 2 Peter was eventually accepted. The writing style is different because of the time lapse between the two books, different location, different situation. And Peter verbally dictated the first book to a secretary. So that's all.
Ah,
and so those are the reasons. Now, that was only one. We're going to go through numbers 2, 3, 4, and maybe 5 and do some other stuff on the other side of the show. TruthRevolution.tv. Come on out to Revolution Church.
All right.
Starting at 10:15 this morning. We'll catch you on the other side of this break. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff from Revolution Church. Not only am I the host of the Truth Revolution radio program, but I'm also a foster parent. Did you know that there are only 20 or 30 children in Salina that need to be adopted right now? Did you know that there are children in foster care who want to live in Salina but are sometimes placed in other towns because we don't have enough foster homes here? I want to challenge you to consider foster care today. If you're interested in doing foster care, go to kfapa.com. That's K-F-A-P-A, as in the Kansas Foster and Adoptive Parent Association.com. KFAPA.com, and get more information. You can request information, email and ask any questions you want, or possibly even sign up to take a class about foster parenting. It's easier and more difficult than you'd ever imagine, but it's also more rewarding than you'd ever imagine. Consider fostering and helping a child in need today.
This is Dave
and Jeff
from the Truth Revolution Show. We want to invite you to Revolution Church this Sunday at 10:15 a.m. Revolution Church welcomes everyone and every question.
If you want to explore who God is, come join us.
And bring any question you have, because we have answers.
Why does the dryer eat my socks? Can I get married but not have a mother-in-law?
How much is a long-distance call to the moon?
Well, we don't have answers for all your questions, just the important ones.
Revolution Church, Sunday morning at 10:15 a.m.
www.salinarevolution.com.
Truth Revolution.
And we are back.
How do we know that a piece of scripture or a piece of the Bible was actually supposed to be included in the Bible? We said the church didn't determine what the Bible was supposed to be.
Right.
They didn't sit around in little groups let's include this book. Let's not include that book.
We were the discoverer of the canon.
Right. We didn't determine it. Now, we first said, how do we know a book should be included? Because we discover it. We don't determine it, we discover it. Well, how do you discover whether something is from God? First of all, it has to be from a prophet.
Mm-hmm. Evidently.
Like Peter and Paul. Second of all, we have to ask the actual question. Was the prophet confirmed by an act of God? It's one thing to claim to be a prophet, Dave, right. But it's an entirely different thing to be able to prove it.
Now, when you say an act of God, you're talking about, like, what, miracles?
Like Moses turned his staff into a snake.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus rose from the dead.
Okay.
Peter rose someone else from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Paul rose someone else from the dead. Okay. Those are pretty good indicators that you actually are from God.
You think?
I think raising someone from the dead is a pretty good indicator.
All right.
And I don't mean medically. I mean, these guys were dead.
Right. Well, you know.
And they put a hand on him and said, hey, get up. And the guy got up.
Right. Well, it would be hard to bring somebody back then. It's hard to bring somebody back now.
I'd say so.
You know, so
I haven't done it very often.
Just throw medically out the window.
All right. So not only number one, they have to be a prophet. Number two, they have to be able to prove that they're a prophet. Okay. They have to be confirmed by a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing that we have to be able to agree with, to include something in the canon of Scripture, not to decide that it's Scripture, but to be able to recognize that it's Scripture, is number three, does it tell the truth about God?
That's a really important one.
Yeah, I mean, is this authentic? Is this real? Listen to Galatians 1. Even if we, or an angel from heaven, should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we've already said, so I now say again, if anybody's preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned.
Wow. That's somebody that wants to be consistent.
Absolutely. F.F. Bruce, a good scholar about the Bible, he was talking about this sort of thing, and this is what he had to say.
He said, when previously unknown gospels or acts began to circulate under the authority of apostolic names, the most important question to ask about any one of them was, what does it teach about the person and the work of Christ? Does it maintain the apostolic witness to him as a historical Jesus of Nazareth, crucified and raised from the dead, divinely exalted as Lord over all?
Exactly. The point here is, does it teach the right things about Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
Now, our little contrary man at the beginning of the show who said, you know what they did when they got together in their groups and they were looking at what books to include in the Bible? They said, oh, we just got to figure out which books say the right things. We're only going to include those. They're just totally arbitrary.
That's a very annoying voice.
Well, he is annoying. I actually don't know him. But right, they're saying it's arbitrary because we only included the books that say the right things.
Right.
And we're saying, this is not arbitrary because we only included the books that say the right things.
Right.
Right. Bishop Serapone, who was the Bishop of Antioch, mm-hmm. Lived about 200 AD. So this is, I mean, we're talking like 170 years after Jesus died. Okay, not very long after Jesus. It was about 100 years after the books of the Bible were written. He heard about a Gospel of Peter. Okay, not the second Peter that we already discussed. He heard about this. It's this Gospel of Peter that's mm-hmm. not in our Bibles, being taught in the Church of Rosas. Okay, no problem. But then he heard it taught some false stuff about Jesus. Obviously, this was not from a prophet. Uh-huh. It doesn't tell the truth about God. So he paid the church a visit. Lots of fake writings were going around, and that's why the early church was so explicit about how they accepted Scripture.
Ah.
People were making stuff up all the time.
Which is the reason why he said, if somebody's preaching to you a gospel other than what you know, let him be eternally condemned.
That's right. And so you get some of these stories like, hey, well, look, you got like this bishop going to church saying, you can't use this because it's called the Gospel of Peter, but you're not allowed to use it. And people start thinking now, 2,000 years later, oh, well, they just determined what books should be included.
Right.
Well, no, they knew what books were Scripture. And so when a fake book got brought up that taught the wrong things, people are going, no, hey, that's not real. You can't use that.
Right. Okay, listeners, say you wrote a book about your mom.
Yo,
okay?
Mama.
You wrote a book about your mom. And then a couple years later, somebody else wrote a book about your mom. And it was about the really seedy stuff that she may or may not have done.
Well, let's just say included blatantly false stuff.
There you go. Blatantly false stuff. And wouldn't you come to her defense? Wouldn't you? Or would you say, no, it's okay.
No.
It's okay. I'll let everybody think that about my mom. No.
No, you'd stand up and say, hey, you can't use this.
Yeah, the same thing with the church. The church did not want a false Jesus to get circulated.
That's right.
Throughout the populace.
All right. Number four, the question is, does it, whatever writing, does it have the power of God? Okay, first, to discover whether a book was from God, had to be a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
Second, had to be a prophet that was proven. by like miracles. Third, does it tell the truth about God? Right. Now, fourth, does it have the power of God? This is a fun one, David.
How can you tell that, though?
Well, Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." That's a cool verse. What does it mean? If something really is the word of God, it carries some power with it.
Is that why, like, whenever I sit up and read the Bible, I really start to feel kind of charged? And it's not like I'm reading just a regular book. You know, these are the words of God, and I don't know, there's just something about it that really just kind of is uplifting.
Yeah, if you're a Christian, maybe you can remember when you decided to follow Jesus. Often people describe the Bible as, all of a sudden, it started to make sense. It was powerful. Where before they read it and it was just words and blah, I could take it or leave it. But after they believed in Jesus, it was like a light went off in their head and these words contained power. Because now you have the Holy Spirit who can help you understand it. And if you understand it, then it will make a difference.
Amen.
There were many writings and books in the early church. Lots of them were truthful, but they didn't carry the weight, the power of Scripture. Norma Geisler says the non-canonical books, that's non-biblical books, right, lacked power. They were devoid of the dynamic aspects found in the inspired Scripture. They did not come with the power of God. I encourage people all the time to read books in addition to the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
We should. Science books, archaeology books, history books, theology books.
Right.
Read all kinds of books. We'd be foolish not to. But I could never encourage people to read the books instead of the Bible, because no other book has the power to change lives like the Bible does. All right, you know what? Let's go ahead and do, before we get to number five, the final item on our list, let's do a Bible contradiction.
Bible contradiction.
All right. Today's Bible contradiction brought to you by the folks at evilbible.com.
Every week.
Every single week.
Bring it.
All right. Here they're just picking nits, okay?
Jeez.
Check this out.
Okay.
Both of these come from Matthew 1. Okay? Matthew 12 through 16.
That's pretty gutsy.
Then Matthew
17. Say there's a contradiction right in the same chapter.
It's like, hold the phone. We've got a contradiction. And it happened right in the same passage. All right. There were 14 generations from the Babylonian captivity to Christ. That's what it says in Matthew 1:17.
Right.
But there were but 13 generations from the Babylonian captivity to Christ. Yeah, Matthew 1:12 through 16, the verses preceding 1:17. And so we've got all these names that I cannot pronounce, but we sat and counted them. And there are 13 people listed.
Okay. Everybody get your fingers ready.
What's going on? There's 13 listed. It says there's 14.
From the exile to the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You got Jeconiah, Shealtiel, Zerubbabel, Abihud, Eliakim, Azor, Zadok, Akim, Elihud, Eleazar, Mathon, Jacob, Joseph. That's 13.
Right.
These are the names listed. And then it says, thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David, blah, 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 14 from the exile to the Messiah.
They hadn't discovered math at that time yet, had they?
No. This is really easy.
Okay.
There were 14 from the exile to the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
Not to the father of the Messiah, to the Messiah.
Oh, all of a sudden, I feel like my IQ just dropped about 70 points.
Okay, they go all the way from Jeconiah all the way to Joseph, but then they just stop counting. They don't count Jesus. Why? Of course, they list 13 names here, and then they're like, and they do say, yeah, and there's 14 generations. Well, of course there's 14 generations to the Messiah. You got to count the Messiah, dingbat.
I'm sorry.
I shouldn't have said dingbat.
Sometimes I wonder if the Bible wasn't specifically written that way, so people do ask questions. Because I think God wants us to ask questions.
Yeah, you know, that one just seems so obvious. How could they? I think they're just, like you said, they're just trying to find problems where no problems exist. Anyway, that's the answer of our Bible contradiction, non-contradiction, easily answered contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
I tell you, those people at evilbible.com, they're going to egg our house sometime soon.
They don't need to egg our houses. They just need to bring their game a little more.
They do. Bring an A game. We don't want to play the B game.
I feel like we're playing the JV. Come on, guys.
All right.
All right. So, number five. The question is, How did the church include books in the canon of the Bible? Mm-hmm. And by the way, if I hadn't mentioned it, you got to go listen to the first week's show to gather what exactly we're talking about this week.
TruthRevolution.tv.
And you can listen to all our past shows, plus get Truth Shots Monday through Friday. And you can come out to Revolution Church and see what we're doing out there. Revolution is an awesome place, man. Right.
It's coming up at 10:15. That's 1111 West South.
And you also, if you're in Farmington, New Mexico, you can go to our website, SalinaRevolution.com, and you can go to Facebook and jump on there. You can find out where we're meeting in Farmington, New Mexico.
Right.
We meet there and watch our church services. I shouldn't say we, because I'm not there. But our church meets there, and we watch on video. We also got something going in the Marshall Islands. We also got something getting ready to go in Olathe, possibly. Olathe, Kansas.
That's kind of exciting.
You know, God's doing a lot of awesome stuff, man. God's doing great stuff. So,
and he can do that.
Yeah.
Because he's God.
And we've totally bunny-trailed again.
Yes, we have.
About how awesome the church is. Hey, let's do a radio show. What it'll be about. How awesome my stuff is. Yeah. All right. So, first of all, when we include a book in the Bible, the question is not, hey, do we like it? The question is, was this from God?
Right. Is it true?
We're not determining what books are included in the Bible. We discover what's from God, and that's what we include. Mm-hmm. And the first question is, was this from a prophet? We're trying to figure out if it was really from God or not. So we have to ask, was it from a prophet? If it was this prophet confirmed by miracles and whatnot? And if that prophet was confirmed by miracles and he was a real prophet, then does this tell the truth about God?
That's a real important one.
Yeah. Also, does it have the power of God? And number five, the final one here, was it accepted by the people of God?
Well, evidently not unarbitrarily.
What do you mean?
I'm just saying what everybody else says.
Okay, you
know, yeah. Is it arbitrary, evidently accepted by the people of God arbitrarily?
Yeah. You know, if any church leader had come in the 3rd and 4th century and said, ha, 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 I have a new book, and it's scripture. It was just written, and I believe that. He would have gotten laughed out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they would have gone, this is the 3rd century, homie. That couldn't have been written by an apostle.
Right.
Still, people would say, but no one's ever heard of this book. Where'd it come from? They would reject it because no one ever heard of it. It wasn't written by an apostle. Even if he claimed it was written by an apostle, why did no one hear about it?
Which century did you say that was?
3rd.
Were they using the word homie back then?
I don't see why not.
Just checking.
You got a problem with me, Dre? never mind. I'm not going to tell this story. We've already bunny trailed enough today. Many people, in fact, have tried this. William Winston in the 18th century brought a book forth called The Apostolic Constitutions. You ever heard of this?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Apostolic Constitutions. It's a collection from the 4th century of books about worship and doctrine, kind of a manual for clergy.
It sounds very foundational.
Yeah. Supposedly, it was written by the apostles, but nobody took them seriously. Why? Before the 18th century, it had never been accepted by the people of God. The people, the church, wide and large, had just never accepted it as scripture. And so why would we all of a sudden accept it as scripture?
Yeah, why should we change now? And that shows you how consistent it is that the people of God are with, you know, scripture.
Right. 1 Thessalonians 2, this is an important verse. It says, we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. This is interesting because it tells us scripture was always recognized as scripture from the very time it was written. The initial acceptance of a book by the people to whom it was addressed was crucial. When Moses wrote books, they were immediately placed in the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua's writings were recorded as the Word of God right away. Samuel's writings were called scripture by the people of God. Daniel had a copy of Jeremiah's book, even though they lived at the same time.
Right.
Paul called Luke's book scripture. Peter called Paul's book scripture. And all the apostles' letters were passed around from church to church because they knew they were scripture. This is important, isn't it?
I see a pattern evolving here.
All right. You know what? We got to go, but we're going to do a few more things online. If you go to truthrevolution.tv, you can listen to, you know, maybe another 5 or 10 minutes about this.
Right.
How books were included and why. So other than that, get your little self or big self or medium-sized self over to Revolution Church, 10:15 this morning.
That's right, 1111 West South.
And get on over to truthrevolution.tv. Donate, listen to shows, and thank you much for listening.
See you next week.
Truth Revolution.
And we are online.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah.
Hey, you need to go to truthrevolution.tv. Oh, you're here. Yeah, yep. Okay, thanks for listening.
Because if you're listening to this, you obviously, either you're at truthrevolution.tv or somebody's pirating your stuff.
iTunes is at it again. You might download this as a podcast, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, that's okay. You can pirate this all you want as long as you keep it intact.
No kidding. And as long as you just, you know, give it away.
Out for free.
Yeah.
If you paid for this, you're paying too much.
That's
not that
right.
It's not worth it, but you're paying the wrong person.
That's our disclaimer.
1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "We thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of man, but as it actually is the word of God." Okay, they accepted it
right.
As the word of God right away. Scripture was always recognized as scripture from the very time it was written. That's crucial. We have to get that in our little brains.
And that's something that we've actually pushed and pushed the last couple of weeks.
That's right. We didn't decide what was scripture. We discovered what things God had actually inspired.
You think this is an important subject?
Nah.
Come on, man.
I'm going to talk about lunch. Lunch is important. This is secondary. I mean, of course, this is important. There's right. Not much more important than this because we base our beliefs on the mm-hmm. Bible. We want to know how it came to be. Look, I'm serious, people. If the Bible is just haphazardly thrown together and chosen by a bunch of political sycophants, I don't want to read it as the guide for my life.
Amen.
If, however, it really is the voice of God recorded by prophets, then I want mm-hmm. to know that as well.
You know, a lot of people say, you know, that Bible, it's a good book. It's something to live your life by, but I wouldn't say that it's full of truth.
Yeah, you know, this is where I kind of go back to that series we did by C.S. Lewis,
uh-huh.
and he made this quote that's, and I'm going to paraphrase it in our own language, but Jesus, and you know, I actually said this the other day on Facebook, I said, I can understand the atheist more than I can the moderate Christian,
mm-hmm.
because Jesus could have been fake or not real. He may not have been the Messiah, or he may have been exactly who he said he was, God.
Right.
Either way, you either reject him and do whatever you want, or accept him and live with him as God
right.
every moment of every day. But don't be like this stinking middle road where you're like, yeah, I believe Jesus is God. I just don't do much about it.
Well, you know, that's the thing, though. I mean, and we're here to try and educate people to get that kind of effect from them.
Yeah.
Because I know when I was younger, in my younger Christian life, I thought, hey, I'm a Christian. I think about God every now and then. I'll throw a prayer down every now and mm-hmm. again. I'll read the Bible maybe once a year, and I'm a good Christian.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize, you know, that verse in Revelations where God says to the church of Laodicea, I will spew you out of my mouth because if you're
not hot or cold,
yeah, not hot or cold, you're lukewarm. And I really didn't understand that until like the last couple of years. And I'm like, whoo.
Yeah.
I really dodged the bullet the last couple of years.
Crazy. So anyway, we are still talking about how we know the Bible is put together. Although today's been bunny trail day.
Oh, definitely.
That's fine. So I don't remember just ADD.
That's why we've got extra. That's why we've got extra time at
so
the
much
end of
extra.
The
we're like, we got 12 extra pages. What happened? All right. So some, you know, I want to point out, we've gone over a whole bunch of principles mm-hmm. about why something would be accepted as a word of God. Now, some principles were more important than others. For example, if it could be proven that something was from a prophet, that alone would establish the book.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the earliest church father, their primary concern was apostolic authority and the authenticity of the book. If it was from an apostle, and if it was authentic, then it was scripture. Didn't matter if it seemed like it contradicted other things in the Bible or not. If it was from an apostle, it was scripture. Because God speaks through the apostles.
Right.
That makes sense. Norman Geisler says, the recognition of canonicity was not a mere mechanical matter settled by a synod or an ecclesiastical council, which is what we've been saying all along.
Right.
It was a providential process directed by the Spirit of God as he witnessed to the church about the reality of the Word of God. People could not identify the Word until the Holy Spirit opened their understanding. Jesus said, quote, my sheep hear my voice in John 10:27. So what you got to get from this is these tests were not a mechanical process, right? It wasn't a checklist. All right, number one, was it by a prophet? Yes. Okay, number two, is a prophet confirmed by miracles? Yes.
We're going to turn this show into a cartoon. You're going to do all the voices. You're the new Mel Blanc.
Remember, these things are just guidelines to help discover if it's really from God. That's all they are. Ignatius, the Bishop of Antioch, this guy lived 35 AD to about 110 AD. And he argued very strongly that the Gospels, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were scripture. And this guy was martyred for his faith. Listen to this. He knew the apostles personally.
Right.
He stuttered. He may have stuttered, but he studied under the apostle John. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want to do that?
Yeah. And in Ignatius's writings, he argues that it is ridiculous to not call the gospel scripture. Except for the apostles, he was the earliest church leader that we know of.
So wait a minute. You're telling me that before the council where they all voted the Bible in, scripture was there?
Yes! Thank you! All right, this is the earliest church father we know of after the apostles. I mean, he studied under the apostle John, and he is saying, oh, don't be ridiculous. The gospels are scripture. That's what John MacArthur says. The New Testament writers were aware that they were writing the word of God, as surely as the Old Testament prophets were.
That is amazing.
So note, as we've said, I'll say it again. There was no council that got together with a list of 1,000 books and said, which ones do we like?
Right. I know what everybody's thinking, all of you that don't believe, that, well, these just seem too consistent. I mean, you had to throw some stuff out that didn't belong in there. You know?
Yeah.
But, I mean, really, it's consistent for a reason. For several reasons, as a matter of fact. You know,
maybe it's consistent because it was all inspired by the Holy Spirit. When scripture was written by a prophet with the power of God, and it was true, it was always recognized as scripture. There was a few books like 2 Peter, Hebrews, and Revelation that were kind of like Bible light version for a while.
Right.
As I said, the Antinomia books, they weren't rejected, but by and large, they were accepted with a little hesitation because they couldn't confirm certain facts. Like, who was the author? You know, to this day, we don't actually know who the author of Hebrews was for sure.
Who is it by and large attributed to?
Well, my guess is Paul.
Okay.
A lot of people think maybe Paul, but we don't know absolutely sure. But it was the confirming that these were actually from an apostle or a student of the apostles, that they carried the power of God. They're always accepted for as the word of God, and they didn't contradict anything else in the Bible.
Right.
And so they've always been accepted as scripture.
Right. And you've been doing that that Lawless series at the church for the last few weeks.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about the book of Romans.
Yeah.
And I mean, so, I don't know the power of that.
Yeah.
I mean, just talking about
totally.
It is, you know, I mean, it's freeing. I mean, it makes you leap inside. And if you don't, you don't have a pulse.
Oh, man, that is so true. Like when we read Romans 8 and say, hey, you're free from the law. We as Christians sometimes gloss over that. We're like, okay, I'm free from the law, so God's not going to punish me. Like, no, wait, stop. You are free from the law. Stop trying to obey the rules. Well, no, I need the rules.
Right.
No, you don't.
We do cling to those rule books a little bit too tightly.
Oh, man, like just stop it. You don't need to obey the rules. Yeah, but I want to be a good person. Okay, then be good.
Be a good person.
Don't obey the rules, though. Stop. Don't worry about the rules. Just follow the Spirit. But what about the rules? Stop it. But the rules. Stop it. No, right. Not like that. Anyway. Hey, okay, so I think we've kind of gotten this in our brains. We did not, I will say again, we did not simply decide what books of the Bible were going to be included.
Right.
We discovered what books were written by prophets.
Truth Revolution.
And we discovered what books were actually from God. And we included them based on those reasons. So, you know, that's all it comes down to. We had to discover what was from God and what wasn't. But hey, thanks for coming to TruthRevolution.tv. Thanks for listening online.
Right.
You know, since you're on a website, why don't you go ahead and think about contributing today? You contribute 99 cents, $9.99,
right.
$99.99.
Yeah, and somebody pointed out to me
$999
a couple months ago, hey, there's one that says $9 and the rest of them say 99 cents. I changed it.
Did you?
Yeah. They all say $9. No, just kidding. 99 cents.
I mean, we just put 99 cents. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't really matter. So anyway, thanks for listening to TruthRevolution.tv. We love you guys. Appreciate you all. And hope you can make it out to Revolution Church sometime. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. And God bless.